This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
To connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. I'm Holly Snape from Community Waikato and feel very lucky to have with me on the phone today Sue Barker, all the way from Wellington. Hey Sue, thank you for joining me today.
Kia ora, Holly. Thank you for having me.
It's cool to be able to have a chance to talk a bit about this very quickly up-and-coming political panel that you've been a key force driving for the community and social service sector. So I wanted to have a conversation with you today a bit about that, a bit about what prompted you and Community Networks Aotearoa to start talking about even doing this. We'll chat a bit about who's going to be on, and we'll talk a bit about what's on top for the community sector, why this is so important. So thanks for coming, and let's start with where this idea even came from.
Well, we've done it before. We did it in 2020 during COVID, and then it didn't happen for the 2023 election. And I was thinking, gosh, you know, there's an election coming up. Wouldn't it be great if charities were on the agenda, or if not on the agenda, at least on the radar, or if not on the radar, preferably not on the menu, which seems to be the problem lately, as Mark Carney or the Red M&M might say. So I was speaking with Roz about it and your good self, and I'm very happy to say that you thought it was a good idea too, because I agree. I mean, it's so important we in an election year that we are actually establishing, you know, what politicians' policies are with respect to the community and voluntary sector, and actually being aware that the community and voluntary sector is here.
Yes, and it's a big sector, right? It's not just present. It has a significant, not just social impact, but even financial impact.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, it's the solution to so many of the really pressing and tractable problems that we face.
Yes.
And I think we ignore the charitable sector at our peril. So good on Community Networks Aotearoa for picking up the mantle, and good on the politicians and the political parties for coming to the panel. It's a great response.
So we will get into who is going to be on that panel, but you've done a bit of work to really identify someone who will be really well qualified to facilitate this conversation, because it's not an easy conversation, right, when we've got four or five politicians trying to get some airtime having a talk, so especially at an election time. So who did you end up identifying to come and support this conversation?
Well, I'm so excited that Jahan Casanada is going to be the host for the panel. Jahan Casanada will be well known to people across the country. He's a journalist. He has done a lot of work with TVNZ. He also has a master's in public policy, I understand, from Victoria University. So he is extremely well qualified to ask the questions that need to be asked and to follow them up.
Yeah, I think that absolutely critical, right? Like, politicians are very well seasoned in how to I'm trying to think of how to say this well without also being offensive to politicians. I don't want to be, but they're very, you know, they have media training, so they know how to say things sometimes that don't say anything at all, you know. And so having somebody well versed in this who understands what's happening from that media perspective and is able to really draw out the depth of response that will be critical for people to really make decisions on who they're voting for, I think that's a really smart move.
Absolutely. He's very skilled. I'm really looking forward to what he makes of it. Yeah.
So let's turn to who's actually going to be coming along for this facilitated conversation. How many politicians from what parties, like what have you managed to organise?
Well, most of the heavy lifting has been done by Roz Rice at Community Networks Aotearoa, I have to say. And I'm very happy to say that six political parties are sending a representative. I understand that Te Pāti Māori were asked, but they are not able to send someone. But we do have representatives from Labor, National, ACT, the Opportunity Party, the Green Party, and New Zealand First.
Oh,
which is fantastic. Yeah.
That is an excellent spread, isn't it? Are we able to talk about who has agreed from each of those parties?
Absolutely. Well, from Labor, Helen White is the MP for Mount Albert, and she's the Labor Party spokesperson for the community and voluntary sector. So it's great that the Labor Party is sending their spokesperson.
And Helen's
the National Party
Helen's
are sending Maureen Pugh, who is the MP for West Coast Tasman. And she also probably would have been the Minister for the Community and Voluntary Sector, but for the coalition agreement and the need to accommodate both ACT and New Zealand First meant there were less spaces. So it's fantastic that Maureen is able to come and join the panel. And then from ACT, we have Laura McClure. I don't think ACT actually has a spokesperson for the community and voluntary sector. I could be wrong. Laura McClure is the spokesperson for small business, education, seniors and mental health. And people will be aware she has been doing a lot of work with in the incorporated society space. She put forward a bill, a members bill on incorporated society. So it'll be really great to hear from Laura. And then from the Opportunity Party, Dr. Kayla Kingdon-Bebb is a former chief executive of WWF New Zealand and has also been at the Ministry for the Environment and subsequently as director of policy for the Department of Conservation. And she has double degrees in commerce and international development studies at Queen's University in Canada and a master's and doctorate in land economy from the University of Cambridge in the UK. So it's fantastic to have the Opportunity Party there. I understand that they're polling very well, so they could well be in Parliament at this election, if not even holding the balance of power. So fantastic that Kayla's able to join us. From the Green Party, Mike Davidson has agreed to come and be on the panel. Mike is a former city councillor in Ototohi, Christchurch, and he's currently the Inners Ward on the Waipapa Papanui Inners Central Community Board, which is a role being performed in tandem with serving as a Member of Parliament. And he is apparently, I understand, donating his board salary to the Mayoral Welfare Fund. So his bio states that his time as a city councillor in Ototohi has made him acutely aware of the important role local government plays in providing for community, as well as the vital work that local and central government must perform together effectively. So it'll be fantastic to hear from him. He has an environmental science degree, and he has chaired both the council's urban development and transport committee, as well as the coastal hazards working group. So fantastic that Mike is able to join us. And last but not least, Andy Foster, who is a List MP for New Zealand First, based in Wellington. Wellingtonians will know him as the former mayor of Wellington, and he's also been a councillor for many years. And he was also instrumental, I understand, in forming the Zealandia Eco Sanctuary in Wellington. And he's still on the board there, I understand. And he is the New Zealand First spokesperson for the community and volunteer sector. So fantastic. These are fantastic people doing great things for our community. It's really great that they've agreed to come and be on the panel, and I'm really looking forward to their perspective.
There's such a depth of qualification and knowledge, and right across the non-profit sector too. That is one of the challenges for our sector, is it is so diverse, right? It includes so many different sectors in itself within the non-profit space.
Exactly. You know, and these people have real depth of experience. I'm really looking forward to hearing their perspectives.
So tell me a little bit about kind of what's on top. Like, you know, we just flagging that it is a very diverse sector, we know there are some shared challenges across the sector as well. So what would you say are the kinds of things that are significant challenges that the not-for-profit spaces is looking at currently?
Well, you know, there are so many, and I think every person you ask will have a different perspective. So I can't speak for anybody else except my perspective and what I see. I know that Community Networks Aotearoa have put together a package of background information for Jahan, so, he will have the background information. But from my own perspective, I think I am really concerned about the invisibility of the charitable sector. There's a saying that the charitable sector is the invisible subcontinent on the social landscape of most countries, poorly understood by policymakers and the public at large, encumbered by unnecessary legal limitations, and inadequately utilised as a mechanism for solving social problems. And I see so many issues in our society, you know, social housing, poverty, rising inequality, backsliding of democracy, environmental degradation, you name it, pretty much the charitable sector is there and really willing and able to help. But in many cases, it's being held back by a totally ill-fitting legal framework and by the fact that we've had, you know, 20-plus years of piecemeal, often knee-jerk legislative or policy changes that have generally been kind of tinkered with, dealing with isolated aspects of an interconnected system without any overarching vision of what we're actually trying to achieve with policy relating to the charitable sector. No overarching vision of how we might be able to actually unlock the potential of the charitable sector to help our society with all of these issues that we're struggling with. I would really like to hear from each of the political parties, what is their vision for the charitable sector? How could we unlock this potential? That's top of mind for me. I mean, another practical one is the work that has been that the Inland Revenue Department have been doing about their proposals for donor-controlled charities and also taxing member subscriptions. And they're also proposing some positive changes for donations tax credits. But there's actually a lot more that could be done in that space. Could we bring in a type of gift aid mechanism such as they use in the UK, which would actually increase the funding to the sector potentially by a third? I mean, I don't want to overstate it. I mean, what it means is that if you donated $100, instead of claiming that third tax credit back, you could direct it to the charity directly so that the charity's funding would increase in respect of that donation by a third. You know, we have the technology to do this, and if we're looking at making changes to try to encourage generosity, to try to improve funding to the charitable sector, we need to be looking at things like this. I'd be really interested to hear the various political parties' perspectives on actually doing some things that actually might be helpful for the charitable sector.
Yeah. You have done a lot of work. You sort of flagged one of those big challenges being the framework within which the not-for-profit sector operates, and you've done years of research in this space and actually even created a model that that a government could pick up and apply. Is this something that is likely to be explored in conversation during the panel discussion?
I don't know. The focus on purpose report that we put out in April 2022, it made 70 recommendations for charities law reform in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Three of them have actually been implemented, so I'm happy with that.
And what were those three?
I think actually the key change that needs to be made, and this actually ties in with the IRD's proposals to create this new bespoke category of donor-controlled charities for the purposes of imposing minimum distribution requirements and quite complicated transactional investment restrictions on them. And they seem to be following or kind of cherry-picking from other jurisdictions to create this framework. And I understand there's only about one or two charities that are actually in their sites. But these proposed rules will have a blanket response, and they will force affected charities to have to undertake annual valuations. It is a very blunt instrument that, in my view, is likely to be full of unintended consequences. It will require, constant adjustment to fill gaps and address those unintended consequences. In my view, it would be a significant mistake because the law already requires every charity to act in good faith in the best interests of their stated charitable purposes. That's, I call it the fiduciary duties.
Yes.
These fiduciary duties apply to every registered charity, irrespective of their legal structure. And if we actually enforced the fiduciary duties, we would be able to address all issues of concern without creating these complicated new rules, which will only be a first step. Minimum distribution requirements were comprehensively rejected during the review of the Charities Act as unworkable, but here we are looking at them again, and really, in my view, this is a reflection that the review of the Charities Act just really did not address issues of concern, and now IRD are taking matters into their own hands, and I think it would be a significant mistake. We will create incredible complexity, and what we will ultimately do is really create an environment for charities that is quite hostile, which will push away from the charitable sector people with genuine charitable intent. And we are seeing this in the US. People are voting with their feet. They're choosing other structures, for-profit structures. And what we will do is actually invite into the charitable sector those who would have nefarious intent. And then we get this poacher gamekeeper mindset where people are trying to game the system, and we spend a lot of charitable and taxpayer resource trying to work around the system rather than what we should be doing, which is actually encouraging charities to further their stated charitable purposes. So the answer is already there.
Yeah.
We don't need all of this complicated new rules. We just need to enforce the law that is already there. And that was the key. That's why the Focus on Purpose report is called Focus on Purpose, because we really need the whole framework. We need charities. We need everything is directed to the charity's stated charitable purposes. And that's how we protect the independence of the charitable sector, which is critical to what everything that makes it distinctive and valuable. And it's also how we protect the diversity of the charitable sector, because the ways that people try to benefit other people are infinite. I'm constantly amazed at the innovation and the ingenuity with which people come up with these ideas of ways to benefit other people. And we should be protecting that. New Zealand has this wonderful culture of volunteering, of social cohesion, and these are under threat. And I know what really frustrates me is that in all the discussion, that goes on about these problems, the legal framework for charities is missing. It's notable only by its absence. And actually, it's at the front line of all of these issues. And if we could get the legal framework right, we could unlock all of this potential. And I would love to see a politician actually embrace that. I appreciate that it's difficult for officials to relinquish power or kind of think in a way that's not rules-based. Charities law, enforcing the fiduciary, is inherently principles-based, although it doesn't necessarily need to result in any lower kind of adequacy of monitoring of charities' activities. It's been around for centuries because it works. but trust law, sadly, is not taught in business degrees, as I understand it, and it's just it's missing. And I would really like to see a politician grapple with getting the legal framework for charities right, because that is the first order issue. If we fix that issue, we would fix so many second order issues, and I think funding is amongst that. Collaboration, I hear people saying, oh, charities should collaborate more, but that is a pretty big ask when we have a legal framework that pits them against each other in a Hunger Games scramble for funding, and particularly when we don't have this unrestricted funding that we used to have. So they're funded now for a particular service, generally underfunded for that service. That is not conducive to collaboration. So, you know, rather than blaming charities, I would personally like to see these issues fixed at the level of source rather than symptom. Mm. Why don't we actually grasp this nettle and get the legal framework for charities right? That is my view, and I don't even know if Jahan is going to raise that, but that is, I would be very interested to hear politicians' views on that. Do we have a politician that actually would take this challenge and actually fix this issue at the level of source rather than symptom?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You did say that there were three of the recommendations, though, that were taken up. Can you tell us what they were?
Oh, I can, but I didn't prepare that. I can't remember.
Okay, no.
I can find that out. I have to get back to you.
Yeah, but, no, that's cool. I would love for us to actually have a conversation about that at some point. And maybe what we'll do is do a follow-up conversation after the panel on the 12th so that we can explore a bit of what came out, look at what progress has already been made, and then think about, yeah, what were some of the other issues that floated up during the panel conversation. And it is going to be exciting, right? I'm very much looking forward to what it is that these politicians see on top, because they'll come with a very different lens, right, from those of us a bit more embedded in the day-to-day of working in a non-profit space, or with you working alongside very, very closely the non-profit community. I'm really curious about how people are going to be able to access this, because it's being held in Hamilton, right? Sorry, in Hamilton. It's being held in Wellington. So it's a face-to-face opportunity for people who would like to come along. Can we start with how people might actually get access if they want to come along and sit in the room and hear this conversation?
Yes. Well, I do think that it would be great to be there in person. I think these things, in-person meetings, you know, it's great that it will be live streamed as well. So wherever you are in the country, you can access it 4:30 to 6:30 on the 12th of May. So you can join the live stream. But if you are in Wellington or thinking of coming to Wellington, do come in person. I'd like to do a shout-out to the BNZ. Thank you so much to them for making their premises available. It's the BNZ Centre on 1 Whitmore Street in Wellington, which is actually just kind of a stone's throw, really, from the Beehive.
Yes.
It's a beautiful facility, lovely all-day sun. So do come and join us. I think that's the... that would be best. You'll be able to see the whites of their eyes perhaps a little bit better than you might on the online stream. But it is great that the online stream is available, and good on Community Networks Aotearoa for making that available. So you'll be able to see online wherever you are in the country as well.
So do people need to register to come either to the online or in person?
Yes, so there's a page on Humanitix. It's called One Sector, Six Parties Respond, a 2026 political panel hosted by Jahan Kassanada. So I'm sure we'd be able to put a link somewhere in the notes, or it's certainly not hard to find if you Google, and it's on my website as well, and it'll be on Community Networks Aotearoa's website. It won't be difficult to find. I noticed that Philanthropy New Zealand put it in their newsletter week. It shouldn't be hard to find, but people are welcome to contact me if they can't find it, and I'd be happy to send the link. And thanks to Humanitix. I love what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can jump onto communitynetworksaotearoa.org.nz to find the link to register, or obviously Sue Barker. Sue Barker Law, is that right?
Charities Law, yeah.
Fantastic. It is going to be exciting. I'm thrilled with who we've managed to get to come along and facilitate this conversation. I think the quality of the people who have put their hands up to speak on behalf of political parties is absolutely brilliant as well. I'm actually really quite surprised with the depth of knowledge and background for each of these people and how they connect in with the non-profit sector. Sometimes I probably make assumptions, right, about how some of the people that are involved with political parties, you know, what their other interests might be. But clearly there's really genuine connection with the charitable and volunteer sector right across.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so impressed with the depth of experience of the people who are coming along, and I'm grateful to them for making the time available. I'm really interested to hear. I mean, and you know, we won't all agree, and that's the beauty of having parties from across the political spectrum. But it's been really interesting to hear their different perspectives and their vision for how, you know, how to maximise the potential of the charitable sector, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, you raised right at the beginning of this conversation the importance of putting our sector in front of people, in front of politicians, because we often do feel very invisible. We have partnerships with government, you know, and we obviously do a lot of work alongside the government throughout each of these sort of three-year cycles, and yet we hear very little conversation during policy setting that is immediately obviously connected to the non-profit sector.
That's right. And I think there's a lot of, I think there's a real sentiment in the community more broadly about, you know, this three-year kind of one party does a whole lot of stuff, then the next party undoes it, and really we're spending a lot of money going back and forth, but we actually, this short-term three-year process is not conducive to long-term thinking, and a lot of these issues that we're facing require long-term thinking. They require bipartisan support. Mm. In my view, maximising the potential of the charitable sector transcends the political spectrum. It's not a party political issue. We should be able to reach cross-party consensus on how best to maximise the potential of the charitable sector. And these issues should survive different governments. So, dreams are free, right? But I would really like to see politicians embrace the long term in this context.
I'd love to hear a question along those lines too about how we might be able to move towards that type of cross-partisan approach to the charitable sector. So yeah, that's exciting.
I am excited. And can I do a shout out to Community Networks Aotearoa? They've done most of the heavy lifting in this regard. Good on them for picking up the mantle. I'm so excited about what they've organised and really looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to seeing you there, of course. I'll be flying down for it and certainly hope we have more from the Waikato and, well, obviously right across the country. Really appreciate the work that you've done on this too. Love the shout out to CNA. Roz is an absolute powerhouse, but this wouldn't be happening if it weren't for you really saying this is something that should be happening and you wanted to be involved. So really appreciate your willingness to do that and all that you give to the charitable space. You donate so much of your time and your intellectual property. We're very grateful for that.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you. It's a pleasure.
So for those who've been listening and thinking, look, I really need to hear about this, going back to those details, 12th of May, so coming up pretty quickly.
It's at the BNZ Place, 1 Whitmore Street in Wellington, and it's also online, which is on the Humanitix page.
And you can jump onto the CNA website or Sue Barker's website if you like. You'll be able to find a link there so that you can sign up for that. Wonderful. 4 to 6. Looking forward to seeing everyone there. Thank you so much for joining me today. So I really appreciate your time. And you've been listening to Connect with Community Waikato, Free FM 89.0.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.